We are here in Nairobi atop the Liberty House with a panoramic view of the Central Business District of Nairobi, Kenya. And today we look at the sad history of assassination of African leaders since the 1960s. Of course, there have been many assassinations, but some of them have stood out. The most memorable, of course, started in 1961 with the assassination of Patrice Emery Lumumba in Katanga. We now know, courtesy of Ludo de Wet and other evidence that is in the public domain, that the Belgians and possibly the Americans were intimately behind the assassination of Patrice Emery Lumumba. Of course, after Lumumba's death, and we will talk a little about why Lumumba was assassinated, we will remember the assassination in 1963 in Lomé, Togo, of Silvanus Olympio, the first president of that country. After that, there were a series of assassinations. We'll remember the coup in Nigeria in the month of January 1966. We do not have the details as yet, but we saw the death of Abubakar Tafawa Balewa, who was then the first prime minister of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. On that night, of course, the death of the Sultana of Sokoto, Sir Ahmadu Bello. And it did not stop there. We saw once again in 1969, in the midst of the struggle for the liberation of Mozambique, the death of Eduardo Mondlane in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, when he received a bomb hidden inside a book, and Eduardo Mondlane's death was as debilitating as it was frustrating. And it did not stop there. Once again, in Guinea, in Conakry, we saw the death of Amilcar Cabral, who was then in the midst of the struggle to liberate Guinea-Bissau and Cabo Verde from the chains of Portuguese colonization. And it did not stop there. Later, we saw the death of the young Tiro Ngopotse, who was involved in the struggle in South Africa. And we saw other assassinations. Of course, we are familiar with the death of Samora Moises Machel. The jury is still out of who the prosecutors of his death were, but we know that his plane was brought down. And it did not stop there. The death of Thomas Isidore Sankara in 1987 was also a death that debilitated the struggle which had just started in earnest in a country then known as Upper Volta, but whose name was changed to Burkina Faso. That death in Ouagadougou, we now know, could have been at the behest of France. And we know that there has been a successful prosecution of Blaise Compaoré, who we know was a comprado of the French. Much more recently, in the year 2011, the painful death of Muammar al-Gaddafi in the year 2011. Africa has seen assassinations. Why assassinate them? They are assassinated because at critical times in the life of their countries, they stood out and they were telling the colonizers from the Western world that we were going to ensure that our countries were liberated. Let us start with Patrice Emery Lumumba in 1961. Why was Emery eliminated? Why was Emery eliminated at the behest, as we now know, of Joseph Desire Mobutu, later to become Mobutu Sese Seko? Why was he decimated in the hands of Moise Tshombe in Katanga and his body dissolved in acid? All those who are historians will remember that on the day of independence, Patrice Emery Lumumba was not programmed to speak. The only person programmed to speak was King Baudouin of the Belgians and Joseph Kasavubu, who was the president. But Patrice rose and spoke and gave a speech that has remained iconic. He told his audience on that day that Congo will never be the same again. He told his audience on that day that Congolese resources will be utilized for the sake of the Congolese. He told his audience that the history of Congo will be written by the Congolese. And a decision was made at that time that Patrice Emery Lumumba must be eliminated. And who are to eliminate him? His own people whom he had brought to the fore. Mobutu Sese Seko was in the forefront. And of course, Joseph Kasavubu was used to dismiss him from the office of prime minister. They took Emery Lumumba from Kinshasa and took him to Katanga. And we now know that Moise Tshombe was present when he was being tortured and ultimately assassinated. The reason was because of Congo's resources. Congo is estimated to be one of the richest resource countries in the world, conservatively estimated in the 1990s that our resources would be in the neighborhood of 34.1 trillion United States dollars. And you could not have a Lumumba stand in the way. We now know that even the uranium that was used in the bombs that were dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima were from uranium from the Democratic Republic of Congo. You could not have Lumumba, and Lumumba was assassinated. And the spirit of Lumumba has never allowed Congo to be at peace. Lumumba died, and Africa, a piece of her, died with Lumumba. Another death was of a great man, Silvanus Olympio. Togo had just regained her independence, and Olympio was clear that they were going to use that independence to run away from the choreographed independence without independence that had been deployed at the behest of Charles de Gaulle in 1958. And they used Eadema, and Eadema said, I shot him myself. After Olympio was assassinated, the control of Togo continued in earnest. Once again, it was the resources of Togo. So it appears to be that anybody who stands in the way of Western powers and their quest and thirst and appetite for resources must be eliminated, and they eliminated Silvanus Olympio. The Portuguese have always been interesting. They have always stood in the wave of the struggle for independence and have always been quick to do away with anybody who stands in their path of exploiting their colonies. Mozambique was such a colony. And in the forefront of the struggle for the independence of Mozambique was Eduardo Mondlane. Eduardo Mondlane was at the headquarters of the struggle in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and so were the others who were fighting and being trained by the Nyerere administration in Tanzania. And they had discovered a way of eliminating these individuals. They sent a letter bomb in Dar es Salaam in 1969, and Eduardo Mondlane was dead. That delayed the independence, possibly of Mozambique. Ultimately, of course, Mozambique regained her independence under the presidency of Samora Moises Machel. And I remember this speech of Samora Moises Machel. He said, "Never must Africa say that there is one colonizer who is better than the other. All of them are the same. Some kill you smiling, some kill you sneering, but at the end of the day, you are dead." And when Samora was flying, when they had introduced insurgency in Angola, or rather in Mozambique, to ensure that the independence did not go as it was planned, he was brought down, and his aircraft led to his death when it was brought down. Samora Moises Machel, once again assassinated because he was in the forefront of the struggle for total liberation of his country. And they did not stop there. In Guinea-Bissau, there was a great man, Amilcar Cabral. his nom de guerre, Abel Jassy. While he was in Guinea-Conakry, they murdered Amilcar Cabral. Of course, ultimately, Guinea-Bissau and Cabo Verde regained their independence, but Amilcar had gone. In South Africa, as they struggled against apartheid, they used different means. But immediately after the apartheid regime had been brought to his knees, one of the most iconic and most revolutionary men in South Africa, Chris Hani, was assassinated in 1993 because the white apartheid protectors knew that Chris Hani was a different kettle of fish. The most iconic, of course, was, and I use the word iconic very deliberately, some may say inappropriately, but I use it regardless, Muammar al-Gaddafi. The year is 2011. During that period, we have seen Gaddafi saying the Organization of African Unity is not doing what it ought to do. Let us change it to something else. He convened several meetings in Sirte in Libya, and he funds the African Union, is saying that we must own our hospitality industry. He builds hotels in different parts of Africa. He says that we must control our oil. He builds different petrol outlets in the continent of Africa. He says that Africa must have its currency. He says that Africa must be free. And they say that Gaddafi must die. Recently, the president of Uganda, Yoweri Kaguta Museveni, narrated to the world why and when African leaders were prepared to fly to Libya to mediate, they were stopped by NATO and they were not allowed to go to Tripoli in Libya because NATO had taken the decision that Gaddafi must die. And Gaddafi died. And when Gaddafi died, we now know the state of Libya. We have different governments in Libya, and Libya is not the same again. The resources of Libya are being exploited. The resources of Libya are not being used for the benefit of the Libyan peoples. Begging the question, why is assassination used to undermine Africa? Western Europe, over the years, has been in the business of identifying men and women, particularly men, whose agenda is to move Africa into the arena of total liberation. And when they have identified them, they use their own kith and kin to eliminate them. Assassination has been one of the ways of undermining the continent of Africa. Let us be wary of those who eliminate our brave, our best, that they may destroy the mother continent. We continue with our discussion, but we deserve a break. We'll be with you in a short while.